Hey, Jake, it's Scott.
Hey, Scott. Eric Van Dyke's on the line as well.
Hi, this is Aaron. I'm on the phone.
Oh, hey, Aaron.
But you don't want to drive in from the Dells? Come on.
Exactly.
So on the line, we have Dave Trachtenberg, Ida Royer, Scott Fielding, and Aaron Kovalchuk. Anybody else? Okay, around the room, starting with
Eric Van Dyke is also on the line. Jake.
Gotcha, Eric. Thank you.
I'm Jim Adams, Portland District Project Management.
Max Wilson Fay, Hydraulic Design, Portland District.
Wayne Belrose, NOAA Fisheries.
John Rarisich, Portland District.
Jake McDonald, Portland District.
Scott Benton, BPA.
Tom Lewis, Cricket.
Trevor Connor, NOAA Fisheries.
All right, so that's introduction. Has everybody had a chance to review the notes from our last meeting, which was in August, out on the website?
Open.
Is everybody prepared to approve those notes, or should we wait?
I would say wait, but I don't think
I have enough people on the line, really.
If you want to wait, I won't say no. I just have no guarantees I'm going to get a much better review than I've already done. Open them and then go like, yep, those big notes.
I think it's kind of the same story with everyone. Does anybody object to just approving the notes from last time?
I should approve them. If I find something wrong, I'll tell you why you're wrong.
Okay.
That new? I'm lower stage to my peer.
That's what I got to double check. That's what I'm worried about.
Eric, you agree with that?
Tom Bunyan?
Yeah.
Eric?
Are you talking to me?
Eric. No, Eric Van Dyke. Sorry.
Okay.
Team Oregon.
You're on mute, Eric.
We're about to drop the call.
Okay, we'll call him tentatively approved.
I like that.
And move on. Bonneville pit detection. Ida, were you going to give an update on that?
Sure. So our report went out, hopefully everybody saw it, and comments are due today. So if you have any, please get them in an email and sent today. We did receive a couple comments from BPA, and we hope to wrap that up and get the final report out. I'm not 100% sure of the schedule, but I would imagine before Christmas.
Whoa, that's a crazy turnaround time.
That's worth it. They don't think I have any comments. I
have opened it, have not read it. Actually, is there a recommendation you are looking for, or a tentative, like, this is your alternative, and then it's going to the next phase?
Yeah.
On the early draft, but I've not looked at the newest version.
Yeah, so we have a preferred alternative, and which is the 4 bay gates of the ITDF.
Good.
And so we walk through how we came to that decision, and how we ranked them and how that fell out. But that is our preferred alternative, and then we are planning to move into the DDR phase early next year.
That was the alternative I was hoping you would select.
So are you, initially they had been split up to two separate alternatives, for the fixed gates and two for the, or a separate alternative for the auto gates, and it seemed like you guys had combined those two alternatives. Is that still what you're thinking, so that all gates will be monitored?
Yeah, that's our recommendation. Yes. I haven't heard any feedback from the managers on that, but that is what we're recommending.
Yeah, we support that. Trevor, our comment or recommendation was to get away from gate 1 and 2
or gate 1A, 1B, and automate 2 or 3, or couple in slot 2, or turbine 2, there's multiple slots, and not use, the reason for that is the first two gates are the ones that are just wide open and pass a lot of debris, and the project, they can't be closed unless you have a crew there. We'd rather automate the, some in slot 2, or I should say turbine 2, I don't know what slot's there, but go that route instead of using the first two gates, because the crew wants to protect those for passing debris.
So would you not, so you're saying not put the tag detection in those two gates, but
have them closed.
And then you want to just close it and then you
have automated ones like we have the other ones, and make all five of them the same automation.
I think we're, as long as we have contained coverage on whatever gates are open, I think we are, again, open to changing operating gates there if we want. We probably want to do a little thinking about configuration.
I mean, I think you get less flow. I think getting flow through an auto gate, I think 6 gates right now are at 70. They used to be at 68 for a while, now they're back to 70, I think.
That's the question we get. That's what the question we would have is, can you get an automated gate to get the same flow as currently our
Then the only issue would be the concept that that first unit there is more attractive than the second unit because it's in the corner.
I think that's a discussion for FPOM because there's a big reason that those, a purpose of the ITS other than, there is another purpose other than fish, which is to pass debris. And so they get some big stuff moving through there. So we want to make sure that we don't eliminate that.
Yes, as long and short, as long as we're all in this, yes, whatever gates are open, we would want to take detection on them on. And then we just need to figure out what the configuration is. I think that is a fine recommendation, and we need to work on that. And that could be an FPOM discussion, saying these are the gates that make the most sense to have open. Now let's figure out how to get pit detection on them. Is that something you can get behind, Noah, or do you tell me that we're full of shit like usual?
I mean, I'm definitely lukewarm on it, but I know that Ida initially in his report said that they didn't want massive structural modifications associated with this, so.
The PIT program would not pay for that, so that would have to come out of operations.
Yeah, so if it's additional funding, we don't have a very good funding outlook right now, that I've seen, for additional things. So, you know, and there's some other priority things that I would take over this. So, you know, it's worth looking into. I'm fine with looking into it, but I don't know if I'm going to prioritize it higher than some other things that are in the hopper.
Yep. That's what I'm saying. We have a discussion at FPOM. If FPOM says, yeah, you can do it, but we can't spend money on it, that kind of
different.
In a different direction.
Yeah. Right, but put it on the shelf, you know, in a configuration you want to end up in.
Like a project plan, like, what were those bottom of the decision documents?
We need to fix that end game first.
Well, that's kind of number one.
Any concerns of unit priority?
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking.
That's the thing.
That first unit is the top priority.
That's the thing
that happened in the past. It's right above that. It's preferred.
That's why we did it that way.
And it's that way for adult attraction as well.
I guess I would suggest you put it on the FPOM budget and see what people say. This study is really looking at what's there now and how to make that work and improve detection with what's there. That's kind of the scope.
And I'm fine with that. And if the PTA wants to make these changes and if there's funding for it, then I'm fine with that. But I think we take it to FPOM and say, if we want to change our current operating configuration of what gates are open, that's an FPOM discussion. And then we adhere this program to what is the final decision of that. If we just end up saying, let's just keep what we got and then figure out what did take detection on it, I'm fine with that too. I'm willing to listen to BPA, especially if they want to bring their checkbooks and pay for some of this.
We pay for it all.
No, we're paying for the principal. The Corps has to come up with a portion of it.
Yeah,
and the
small
portion of, the problem is the Corps portion is a challenge right now.
Right.
And also it delayed things because you have to go through construction of that. So we could initiate the PIT-TEC project pretty soon.
It's not that difficult. I mean, they're already automated. You can do the three gates. The other ones will be just identical. They aren't very substantial hoists or changes.
Yeah, but anything to do is going to take at least 2 years. That's accelerated.
Yeah, well, we don't have any money for 2 years anyway.
I know.
So let's plan the right thing and get it done when we get money.
public time to talk.
So are you guys opposed to doing this on the fixed gates?
I'm worried about the fixed gates. The debris that goes through there is going to rip the antennas out, possibly.
Well, it depends on how the antenna, my understanding of the antenna design was more recessed back, though. It should, unless you have big logs hitting the sides of it, which I don't know if we do very much. That's something we can look into.
They get some pretty big logs.
Yeah. Oh, they do. I've seen the cedar logs. I challenged Vern to go down and chainsaw one out before, so.
They're walkers to go through there.
No. That's part of the reason why you need them open, because if you don't have the access of them going through there.
But you can open and close them and not. I think you'll have really poor detection through those gates.
I don't know. If they can get a detection over a goddamn spillway, I think we can get it through a closed orifice.
Only 3 feet.
Yeah.
That's fully open, the big ones.
Well, 3 feet wide.
It depends on your 4-bay. Yeah. 4-bay runs at 73 a lot, but it's nice at 74, even 75. But
I mean, the pit detection estimates we have in the report took into effect Pacific States kind of put those out knowing what the 4-bay is. So we took that into account when we were evaluating and crunching our numbers.
Yeah, I think Scott's just saying that you might get a little better detection probability.
Yeah.
At a lower amount of water going over. But then it gets into the fish fall flow. We did all our testing with, you know, this amount of flow on there with performance testing and whatnot, so we feel pretty comfortable. Yeah, we know what this current is going to put out. So I don't know. I'd prefer.
So it sounds like this would move to FPOM, and whatever comes out from that would feed back to our PDT, and we would utilize that in our decision on what we do. So
Aaron can put on the, maybe, I don't know, December FPOM, but too early in January. Could. I mean, I think it's going to be a pretty quick discussion, honestly.
Yeah,
it's like,
I wouldn't do December.
Let's do January. Does that work for you, Aaron?
That's fine. Why can't we do December?
Because there'll be beer involved and.
Oh. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Grinch. You don't want to deal with him when he's grinchy.
Okay, got it.
And I have a bad feeling there's going to be other discussions for this December that are going to take up time.
I did. The other thing that I was noticing on your document is your photo is probably from the 80s.
What?
On the cover.
Oh, yeah?
You might. There's
no corner collector in it?
No. So it's pre-94, and I think it's even sooner than that.
Big mustaches and long hair.
Yeah, yeah.
No. And it's coming back around, so you never can tell. It's going to be modern now.
Anyway, yeah, some of the things in the report you're talking about don't exist in the photos. All I was noticing.
All right. I will take note of that.
Okay.
Put the picture of Bonneville Dam.
Okay, she shot the dam right.
All right. Everybody happy with the discussion on Bonneville pit detection?
Happy's a interesting choice of words.
Everybody satisfied?
Once again.
Eric Van Dyke, you're being awfully quiet.
May have to call back in. Well, someone called in after you did your role. So
we did hear someone else. In during the discussion there. Was that Charlie?
I don't really have any comments on the bottom of it. I think Tom and Trevor have pretty well addressed the concerns there. Still concerned about being able to have something downstream in terms of that flexible antenna arrangement, see if that works too. But that's part of this discussion at this point.
Thanks, Charlie, and good morning.
Yep.
All right, John Day Turbine Rehab.
So we have a new PM. I think I reported this at FPOM. Steve Seif has taken over for George Medina. During phase one, we just received funding. And last week, we had our first PDT meeting with the 2020 funding. We're in the process of developing the scope and dates for milestones and such. We don't have that yet, but I'm hoping by the next PDT meeting we'll have that outlined. There's not really much to report on this yet, but there'll be more to come.
We didn't have the Dallas AWS on the agenda. Did you want to, was there anything you wanted to say about now?
Yeah, so the Dallas AWS, you know, nothing's changed since the FPOM reporting on commissioning the third week of February and the breaker work. You know, that commissioning is supposed to be the first week of February. However, since our last meeting at FPOM, the PDT has planned a discussion on December 17th to talk about the use of the AWS and a flow test, you know, to support the engineering for the fish unit rehab phase one effort.
Is the flow test to see how much you can get from the middle letters, or just more of a...
This is the one fish unit and use of the AWS.
And see what that gives you, then would you... Have you also guys talked about maybe trying to run AWS for more than, say, 24 hours?
That's what this discussion is going to be about.
Good.
Yeah.
I think we mentioned, didn't we talk about that at FBOM?
Yes.
Yeah, that's March or something.
You guys indicated that you'd be willing to go into mid-March. Yeah. Potentially, Scott has provided comments.
I'm shocked.
Timing and, you know, use of the AWS maybe during periods when we have involuntary spill.
That would be wise.
We could do something there.
And then how comfortable are you guys, because I know Scott private fit, can you do like Daomi or something like that? I mean, how comfortable are you guys trying to turn the AWS off?
That's what we're going to talk
about.
Okay. Now, there is a design life, you know, there's a number of cycles that's been designed for. And
do you want to shorten that?
During a short test, you know, it might not be that big of a deal, but longer term, you know, urban rehab groups, that might be a bigger issue.
Yeah, unfortunately, this wasn't a design criteria that we were planning on doing.
Right.
It wasn't supposed to be run with the unit.
That's right.
So yeah, it was absolutely never. Absolutely never would be. And then now it's.
I don't
do it more often.
Well, I don't understand why we did. Why it wasn't designed that way. Fredericks is somewhere pinching himself or scratching nervously at a tick. That's
wrong. I know. A lot of that had to do with screening, you know, the intake and.
Concern was that, yeah. But I think we also said, you know, if you're going to be down with one unit for a extended period of time, this can keep you open. I think we were trying to say we'd be open to doing that. But we'll take a look.
Yep.
Oh,
I was going to say, so the only other option is if you don't use that during the main unit or in the fish unit rehab, you're just going to have to run one fish unit. Is that right?
Yeah.
That would be
one at a time.
So what would our criteria be like?
One propeller unit. We'd be at 2,500 CFS for the ladder system.
So
it's about 5,000.
Entrance differential would be about half, or
what?
Well, it's like
change it
close away.
The close entrances and like all that stuff.
So you'd have fewer entrances.
You could pinch down on the south gate. You know, make some adjustments to the west.
Probably
stay in criteria.
Exactly. That's kind of what that's what we have in FPP right now. That's what we do.
What would it take to just shut the west? You don't seem to use that one at all.
But yeah, you can pull up the chain gate.
You mean south?
All right,
south.
Is that what you guys call it? South.
Yeah, I was gonna say west.
No, the one that's furthest to the west.
Yes, the one right next to the way.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's the one we usually get. We at least go to usually. We usually get rid of one entrance there. That's one of the first things we do, and then go to like 6 foot entrance, I think.
Is it worth sometimes investigating a permanent change to that?
No.
We don't ever seem to use it. We just pump water through it. Is there a better configuration?
I would, before we talk about getting interventions, I'd want to take a look at Lamprey and see what Lamprey do, if they use that or not. I don't have that information off the top of my head.
Okay.
You want to consider other species?
Yeah, because it's got its own gallery in the middle of here.
Not without problems. Before we tell you, John Day, turbine rehab, I'm assuming you're planning to do something similar to what they did at Ice Harbor, where you start off with different configurations. You can try to figure out like how many fixed, how many Kaplan.
Yes. So,
and are you guys going to, what you learned at Ice Harbor will inform you to be farther down the road on your design? Or are you guys starting kind of afresh at John Day saying, this is a different system, a different turbine, so we're going to...
The design process is going to be similar.
Yeah.
We'll utilize that collaborative design process to work through the iterations of design to get to where we want to be.
So you're still going to do a fair number of iterations. I could just take like Ice Harbor and any.
Yeah, well, it'll maybe four-ish.
Three or four, yeah.
Hopefully. Yeah. But yeah, we're talking to, you know, Kaplan and fixed plate configuration. Yeah. Figure out how it's going to be configured. We're going to have to do some CFD modeling probably first. We've talked about the preliminary CFD modeling that was done, and Lori found that when we put high flow fixed blades in the middle of the powerhouse,
yeah,
and there might be problems along the south shore for adult passage, confusing flows. But yeah, we'll need to figure out the configuration and it probably involves some physical modeling to it. Or
I'm also getting pushback from transmission to not have too many fixed blades, if any.
Yeah, and there's power needs, you know, there's spinning.
We want to go fixed blades, and now we're going, I don't want fixed blades.
The transmission guys all of a sudden woke up and went, what are you doing?
Right.
Because there's no reactive support for the transmission.
Yeah.
Okay,
all these things
kind of a big project for that, so yes, I understand.
They really woke
up. I was really surprised you even talk about this.
Well, we currently have five fixed blade ones there.
Well, yeah.
That's starting to get
the design.
Right, but I mean, it's that really got their attention when they realized that happened.
Happening. Have you seen the preliminary estimates on Ice Harbor turbine on balloon tag testing?
I've heard about it. Yeah, I haven't seen any there in the 98 reports.
98.2.
They always are.
But that's
they always
they're, are. They're that's without tail reservation.
Yeah.
And control.
Encourage me.
Not really. We did the same thing at Bonneville Powerhouse 1 when you put
Yeah,
it always does when you balloon tag afterwards and you start doing full run river. That's one thing. That's when I'm putting.
That was encouraging at least.
You didn't screw things up. Let's put it that way.
15
well
out of 1,000 something fish had some kind of smelling.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Well, I hope you didn't screw it up.
So, yeah, more to come on John Day.
John's planning to ride this after retirement.
So what year do they think they'll put the first one in? What schedule is this on?
You guys even talk that?
Is it 10 years?
Yeah, we did something roughly 10 years. Yeah.
For the first? And you're really trying to get me to retire. This is excellent.
This one's McNary. That's 5 years out.
So. Yeah, but that's even sort of split, it sounds like.
It's interesting to hear all the considerations when they start playing with the big toys. Like, well, we brought all this in on rail car, but there's no more rail. So we turn the truck with this big thing on the back.
Yeah, there's a lot of ancillary projects, you know, associated with turbine rehab. So, you know, staging areas and, you know, lay down areas in the powerhouse. And, you know, how do we get vehicles in and out and turn them around and get them to a location where we can handle this equipment. So there's another team working on that. Steve Stipe is also the GM for that. So we'll be talking about that along the way, too.
That's the biggest thing that limits how many you can do at a time. There's only enough lay down area for one.
Right.
If one other one breaks, then you're just kind of screwed.
Yep. Twice, once a time, one a year.
Yep. So screens, are you talking about redoing the screen system or just replacing kind? Or
the screen system.
Agenda.
I mean, it's not part of this project in the sense of, you know, funding, you know, money for rehab or anything like that, but as far as design goes, it'll be designed with screens out. However, screens would operate with them in. So we want to optimize passage conditions with them out.
That's interesting.
Well, what if that, you know, decreases passage conditions with them in? So, like, all the benefits you're seeing with streamline flow gets disturbed with the screens in and causes.
That's probably likely to happen.
Just checking.
So maybe we should be thinking about that. Contemplated getting away from the current screen design and just having like a gate well way to push more water up the gate well without the screen,
like a big float deflector.
Nice.
Oh, there we go.
Well, there's that. But the reason I bring this up is that at Bonneville, when we pulled the screens, we had a lot of debris a number of years ago. We still got a lot of fish to pass.
Yeah.
No screens in. And And so is there a way to tweak it a little bit so you have no screens in, but you have a kind of deflector or something that gives you a...
And only just as Bonneville, that four bay is so wildly different than any of our other four bays. I mean, it goes flat and then boom, sun drops. It's only 60 feet deep, 100 foot four bay. I don't know if I'd want to take jump Bonneville and say that would likely happen at John Day. We could try to do some modeling and see if it would...
Or try it.
That's what I'm saying. You could do like some modeling and see if it might look the same, but I don't know if I'd want to... I do a lot more work before I start going down that path too far.
As we get further along, the screens are going to need to be replaced or taken out.
Yeah.
Is there a different alternative that we haven't looked at that we should contemplate as we put in better efficient turbines?
Yeah.
Because the cost of those is...
Oh, they're not cheap.
Are good.
There's an option for a surface route there.
Yeah.
How would you collect them? Is there supposed to be on that one or no?
Yeah,
well, how many fish do you get when there's no screen and the orbs stay open?
The other idea that we shot around at John Day was put a big kind of box out front that should have flow come through there, and then when it feeds itself, they look at the concept.
But fish going into like the shoreline units are just using to sacrifice those.
They're going to be kind of, well, that was the thought, is like, well, then you change your priority. Basically, just have like one unit aside for non-traction and for all the units down by the penalty bay to try to concentrate all your flow and fish.
And coral and eddy out there.
Then it gets down to the map, like how many fish are going to be in that eddy versus.
Yeah.
If you can get like 90% of your population going this way, you can probably take a 15% hit on those few fish that are on the shoreline and still come out ahead. That's when we start just getting into fun map games of what survival do you have to have here to offset the loss here.
And it plays into which units, if there are any that are fixed, your choices on that. So there's a lot of things that have to be decided.
Honestly,
if you're funding them.
I think you're going to want to have a bit more of a regional discussion about fixed. I know there's an O&M benefit to it, but it does kind of constrain your general overall configuration. Like, if we think this is going to be a configuration of John Deere for the next 50 years, sure. But I think, depending on what happens to CRSO and everything else, we got 10 years to play with this before we need to start making.
Yeah, there's
long, hard decisions. I'll be retired. Trevor's going to say
that rule for me.
Yeah. Blaine and I are going to retire long before this is going to be our problem.
I mean, it's going to be your gardener.
The only one left over there.
No left.
You and Josie run the whole thing.
The first one hired after Big Gap. You're like a big guy for all.
I know.
It's Monday. I'm already depressed. Gonna pile it on.
Ready to move on to B2FG?
The reason we're all here.
Yeah, sure. So, did everybody get a chance to review the stuff I sent out last week?
Yes.
Did we go
change it already?
No.
Okay.
But what we have...
Well, I should say yes.
Well done, Charlie.
Yeah, I actually reviewed it. Yep.
So you just keep in mind, you know, our schedule that we're going to talk about today, it's all very draft right now. We are trying to figure out how to capture construction sequence and period, as well as the testing to follow. And the testing to follow, of course, you guys recall, requires we have high flow. And so we're trying to target the high flow testing during the month of May. And we have a Gantt chart to put up on the screen as a visual aid.
Can I put that up?
Talk about the scale. I don't know, Jim, do you want to say anything about this project for Bridget? Before we get into,
well, you're so both happy Bridget and I are fairly new,
and you're so happy to have it. Your favorite project?
Oh no, it is. I think it is a good project. It's had some hiccups and a lot of funding last summer, but we got funded beginning in October, and so we are pushing. Our primary objective is to get construction completed on one unit.
Yes.
Prior to the end of April, it sounds like we have all of our clearances to continue to work on Unit 15 up through the end of April. We want to do some pre-construction testing on a unit or two to kind of get some baseline information. To then do the construction, and based on the post-construction
data results, we're going to have a provision for the contractor to go in and do one additional unit. Then we're going to shut this contract down. So there's two contracts that are in progress right now. One of them is through an IDIQ and AE contract for testing. And we're negotiating on that right now and trying to work out the scope of work. And we're going to have that ready to go as soon as we award the construction contract. It doesn't do us any good to award the AE contract ahead of time if we fail to get the construction contract completed. So what we're planning is move forward with the solicitation, get proposals back, negotiate and award a contract for the construction. We're hoping to have this done by like the second week of February. That doesn't give them a lot of time. We're trying to go sooner, but we have procedural issues and stuff in getting through the bureaucracy. I'm pretty good at that, but sometimes I get thwarted. All right? Did I say something funny?
Charlie.
Yeah, yeah. He negotiated the contract process. Yeah, I appreciate that.
So we're busting our tails trying to get this thing going as soon as we can. Award the contract early, mid-February. And then give them 4 or 5 weeks to do preparation, and then have our outages all lined up with BPA and permission from the regional fish managers for not utilizing 15, and do the construction. So our status right now is we have a thing called BECO. Well, the original contract was to do all units. And we've decided to pull back since we got limited funding from the CRFM program. We're going to do one unit and then hopefully do a second one kind of in the fall of next year. But we want to test it and make sure that what we're doing, what we're putting in, is going to work. It doesn't make any sense to go do all the units and come back and find out, shit, the thing doesn't work as well as we thought. So,
can't do worse than third.
So, well. Turbine reduction devices? Come on.
Looking for awesome.
So we're...
That's a low bar.
We have one more review that we have to go through. We anticipate putting out a solicitation by the second or third week of December. Proposals will be due in early to mid-January. Then we're going to award it as soon as we can.
And what's that one going to be for?
Cost?
No, the second one is January. That second solicitation. Is that for the second unit, or is that for the...
No. The construction contract is going to contain a mandatory option for 15,
yeah,
and an optional item to a second unit. I'm thinking 11, it may change.
And the contract says that we have until August to
make a decision on this. Decide about what...
Yeah.
Execute okay. That option.
So that'll be after we get the testing back, and if the testing does go as we think it is going to go, then the corbels are going to have to go back into redesign, and we're going to have to figure out why they didn't perform the way that we thought they were going to perform.
Does testing require unit outages?
The testing does require unit outages to install the testing equipment.
You can run it all the way up to full 1%. Above 1%.
High end of the 1% is what our target is.
Right.
So we have to wait until the flows are right.
So we're hoping to have the unit ready to go into testing at the end of April. It looks like our best chance is to get those flows are mid-May. It
kind of
depends on the season.
If it rains. Yeah.
Right. So
then we're going to have to stop, put the gates in, install all the equipment, take the gates out, and then run it for a while, and then stop, put the gates back in, pull the equipment out, and we'll have the data for evaluation.
Right. There's just a lot of outages.
Okay.
Sounds like you're on top of the outages.
Yeah, John is doing a good job of identifying all of our outage requirement. But I know it's a tough time of year. April is fill season, and we probably have a surplus of water. Yeah.
We hope. We hope. Yeah.
The water year looks like I haven't been
terrible.
It's 1% right now, but it's going south.
Too early, but it's not looking great so far.
Yeah.
I don't know how much we can try to manufacture a high flow. We have to talk with ResReg, and you know, can they release some water from other stream to fill the pool and then get the testing done with additional water? Those are questions I can't answer.
Right. We've discussed it multiple times already in the previous field structures. So we'll work with you and get it done, but some water. And just do it with no water. The thing I wanted to clarify, though, is you're going to operate outside of one first, the upper end of the generator.
I'm assuming you're going to do the full range.
Upper end of the
1%.
We're not going to operate outside the 1%. And that's where I would like to see the conversation on that, because that's how we can use the turbine part of the year. 1% doesn't last all year.
And right.
We're going to test. We want to test the operator.
During those years, we're operating outside of 1%, in a very condition of the river, and a lot of times screens are full, too.
Yeah. But it's important to go more space. So the vibrations or whatever. Never ruined the last. Will that be a problem? I don't want to.
What you're saying is you'd like to see. So we've got a couple of pieces to this testing, but you know, measuring in the gate well and then the pressure testing. Talk about that. You're asking about the head gate.
If you want to know what
the horrible is going to be, you're suggesting we should consider testing outside the 1% above
the generator limit.
The only thing is, though, that kind of testing that ruined the last ones, I think it's more sustained. I don't know if you could do it in testing. I mean, like, half a day may not be enough time. But you guys can do some testing to be able to tell that, yes, this vibration will be detrimental, or no, we're told it was in the realm.
Or you can see if the pressure is the same. It doesn't change over the range. So you could assume that the lower is the high.
I'm sure, is there serious?
Right.
Vibration was the problem.
I don't know. Yeah. Pressure doesn't change. We're never
going to say if you see any variation of pressure.
Yeah.
It will,
but enough. Substantial enough.
Have you collected information last time? So compare?
I don't know. But
question.
So I guess I just want to be clear that the testing that we are planning to do at this time is to match the 2015 testing, because that's our comparison. So we want to make sure that we get that. As far as testing outside of that upper 1%, these corbels are structurally, it's not a plate being tied to the concrete. They're, right, it's all one mass concrete now. So hopefully that is not an issue.
It's fairly robust.
Yeah.
It's just like the other end.
We're putting the concrete out of the first place.
Right.
Yeah. Not to be a pessimist, but if the April testing, if we identify issues with the April testing, and we need additional engineering work to assess that, does that impact moving ahead in August for the second unit? If the testing says, yeah, we can do this, but we need to make some changes.
So the way the contract is written is that we have to make a decision by August. And that decision would be either the testing went well, we're going to go ahead and execute that optional part of the contract, or that might say we need 4 months to do additional engineering, and we would still like you to do that. But at that point, there's going to be all sorts of mods anyway, because the design will have changed. So we might choose to not execute that.
Okay, depending on whatever mods need to be made. So if the mods are significant enough, you would probably delay on doing the second unit at that point in time.
And then you might retest the next year.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
for that optional item, we'll renegotiate it, and then we'll do our other engineering, make our design changes, negotiate the mod with the contractor, and then do that second unit in January, February of the following year.
Right.
And the would you be able to do the first unit if you had to modify that one? Could you do both units in 2021 if you discover we're going to have some issues in 2020?
You're gonna do one unit this spring of 2020.
No,
we had already agreed, you know, through Bitterwig that, you know, the first unit, you know, we don't necessarily need to fix it. You know, from way off, it's gonna depend on the results. But we're just
right off.
Make the mod in the next unit.
Okay. Yeah. The documents I have suggest that you have a high degree of confidence that what you're doing is gonna work.
That's what we needed to move forward with that current design.
That's fine. But the thing we understand was at 15 isn't performing as well, and you go to the other pair of sheets at the end of the cycle, you go back and modify 15 at the end to get it so it can be all the same. Otherwise, there might be an operational.
It all depends on what the deficiencies are and whether we can do it. So we're not really going to know a whole lot. What's hardwired is we're going to get 15 done, get the testing done, evaluate it, and then come to a conclusion as to what's the best way to move forward, and then see if we can accomplish that given the status of the contract and our constraints and how big of a modification we would need.
And I think that if there was additional testing needing to be done, then that would have to wait until the spring of 2021.
And your one contract is going to cover the construction and the testing?
No, two contracts.
You have two separate ones? Yeah. Okay, so the testing won't come out after January 1.
If we award the construction contract on February 1st, the AE contract for the testing will happen on February 2nd.
Okay.
Yeah. So we want to have it in place, ready to go to pull the trigger, and it all is contingent upon that construction contract.
I'm trying to think. If it was one, there's maybe a little more likely that they won't step on each other's toes, but two, you'll see.
So what you're saying, John, like if we were going to do 15, we found this a little bit off, and then we came up with a solution, and then put it in unit 11. I would be fine with that, but I want to make sure we went back to 15 and did something with a similar modification to fix that. I don't want to leave 15.
I think that's probably the
decision. It's going to happen in June, July.
Okay, and the region's going to be part of that? Or?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we'll have a fitter wig to go over the results.
Okay. And are you thinking significantly different within the, you know, standard error? Or are we talking, point difference under that? Or is just kind of things up for discussion? Do you have a transition point in the contract or what the decision?
Well, that, I mean, that kind of comes to the hydraulic analysis. And we have a Gantt chart up here showing, you know, what we're proposing we're going to do to collect data for testing and compare it to the previous year's work. CFD modeling and the numerical modeling that was done, you know, on the current design, you know, there's a high level of confidence that we're going to achieve what we want to achieve with the design. So, you know, you guys provided comments regarding, you know, it's probably better to err on the side of more material, so we could modify.
Yeah,
I think what the engineers are saying, you know, is that this design should do what we want it to do.
But if anything, the solution would be to remove, not to add. Because remove is way easier than add.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So you're thinking
And that said, in reviewing the documents you provided, I thought the responses were good, and there is a high degree of optimism that this will work, and that's good to hear as well.
Our biggest challenge...
But is it real?
Our biggest challenge at this point, in addition to trying to get this contracting package out and solicited and awarded, is making sure that we set up the proper flow conditions for doing the testing when we need to do it. And that is our biggest challenge.
Yep.
We want to try to replicate as much as we can what we did in 15.
How long do you need? How long do you guess? Is it 2 weeks you're estimating testing?
So.
What do we need for flows through Bonneville to reach to achieve that?
No, we had, I think we need 57 feet ahead of the unit, and we did that 15, and we were able to put, I think it was 18.3K through the test unit.
But it's all about the head, it's about tailwater, right? Isn't that what's driving this, tailwater, yeah?
Yeah.
So 15 was a low flow year, so did we have fairly high flows early on in 15?
Yeah, we were able to shape it, make it work.
We shaped it, okay.
There was enough flow.
I was wondering what the risk is for making it. Yeah.
The risk is not having it done.
That's the thing. If it comes off,
yeah,
early, that's when
we're going into, you know, later July. Right. We're done.
No, the biggest thing is the construction. For whatever reason, you guys fall back in the construction thing, and they can't get it done to May 14th. You might have missed your window.
Possibly.
Yeah.
We'll have to keep on top of the environmental.
Lots of chocolates to the contracting department, I would suggest.
But, you know, we're looking at, you know, medium flow and high flow testing and all three slots, A, B, and C.
Yep.
Get the data. And, you know, what are we, we're about a day long, you know, for each test.
Yeah.
Each test condition for 6 days total. You know, before every test period, we would do what we did in the past and have the project clean BBSs and, you know, get the stable environment.
Given the history of this, I mean, there's a good chance you don't get your stuff right, but you can able to shape those corpses and get it right over time.
I think so.
So I just don't want to rush too fast.
Right.
Yeah. I get lucky. I know.
Yeah.
We're fairly confident we got it close to right.
Well, we've heard that.
You're not the first one.
You're 10 or 11.
First time you've heard it from me.
There you go. Okay.
Biologically, the plate is just free. Well, yeah, we get that. But this is a different way of restricting the flow than the plate. So
yeah.
Not much. It's just stronger.
I got shape.
Hey, yeah, Tom, Trevor, Scott, do we see this as an issue of concern for TMT in managing outflows from Cooley and or other projects to get the water they need?
Did you notice it the last few times I did it? No.
Okay.
Okay, falls into my world.
Okay.
The problem's going to be...
Yeah. You need a tailwater of 15 to 18 feet.
Yeah.
That's not...
We need to start prepping them with those needs now so they can have it in their mind as
it is done, I'll get it down.
Okay.
You get it in
place. we definitely want to make sure that we're clear on what the flow conditions are that we're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
And so if there's deviations from what we're currently shooting for, then we need to make adjustments because we're going to have this contract written and ready to sign, and it'll be difficult to change it once we do it.
Not a problem. The hardest part's getting your part done before the flows show up. That's always been the...
We're going to start our review probably tomorrow or the next day. It's going to be an abbreviated review because we've already done this review once already, but we've modified the contract by cutting it down to just a couple of units. But it should go fairly quickly. Contracting package, hopefully we'll have this thing out. Today's December 2nd. I'm thinking no more than 2 weeks at the latest to get this solicitation out on the street.
One other question. Do you need any of the other units on next to it in your testing?
Well, that's part of the conditions that we're looking for.
So ideally, we would have both 14 and 16 running. One thing to note is at the current schedule, 14 is scheduled to be out at that time. But unit 12, so both unit 12 and unit 14 have a four-year outage going on. And so we've asked them if they can switch those dates, so that 14 will be running when you need it to be running, and 12 will not be running at that time. But so far, we've had positive feedback that can happen.
So we're working with the maintenance crews out there to try to make sure we get 14 and 16 fully available for our testing.
Depending on the flows, you may need to change the unit priority to run it.
We might have to take 11 out, because depending on, we're at 150K in April.
Could be higher than that.
Right.
And then, yeah, you might end up running 11 for a while. How long is the testing?
Oh, it's a week of testing.
A week of testing.
the two.
Unit 11,
the second unit, the outfitting?
Yeah, but that's
no, that's no,
not
that's
the yeah.
Test is you have to have the units on next to the unit 15, and that the way the configuration is, depending on the flow, you may not have those units on. So in that problem, what we would change is the unit priority during testing to be those units.
I'll put that in the F-coordination board.
They need both adjacent units, don't they?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's...
Well, no, not necessarily. If you're testing in 15A, what we had done in the past is have unit 14 running. You know, we really wanted 16 when we were in the C slot. Ideally, you would have both at the same time, but
closer.
So if you've got the,
so the four and minimum, four units, because you got your double traction unit on the north, you got unit 11, you got unit 15, and then adjacent unit. So the four minimum, five, what's that? Four times 7.
75.
210.
210 plus
50
plus 50 plus your other and plus your
sleep
plan 12
less
than 210
April
230
basically.
Well, I just heard that 12 was going to be out for 4 years.
No,
no,
it's a 4 year old.
That's unit 11 that's up.
Okay.
It's back, baby.
I think it's a month and a half.
It's not the goddamn beard. It's back a month early.
But no, because Doc has to provide high flow for the high testing, so we'll have more water.
Some, but will we have over...
I can't drive it to happen, but I can shape it, not make it happen.
Yeah, it'd just be for a period of time.
Yeah.
We could just tell Scott we need more water.
Yes.
Yeah.
It'd be the midpoint test. But anyway, it's quite the dance when we try to pull these tests off.
So you're hoping for a lot of water.
A lot of water. But then it could be too much water and you don't get the head you want either. There's a sweet spot. As long as the turbine's available and all the other ones, then it works.
We're going to get what we get. We're going to strive to optimize it, but we're going to get what we get.
We're going to try to be ready.
Right.
Yeah, but we need to prioritize, my opinion here. Max can chime in on this, but 15A at high flow, number one priority. You know, the C slots are kind of lower in the priority ranking.
Let's see if
Hey,
Scott. Does the Willamette play in? Does the Willamette play in this 15 to 18 foot tailwater?
Of course it does.
It can.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
How fuck it ever rains in the Willamette?
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, it's a dance, but we'll make it happen. Just the key is to have the turbine available, so that when the conditions show up, we can do it.
Okay.
How quick of notifications they need that this is the week to do it?
How quick of
the testers? I mean, how much time do they need to mobilize or?
Well, I guess that depends on all the project's availability to help them shut down that unit to put equipment in. So
can a unit be run with the test equipment in?
Put the testing equipment
in unit 15, so it sit there, and then when the testing goes boom, you're ready to go. Because once the unit is put back online, you could add just for the week, like you put your testing equipment in and just let it sit.
We're just not sure.
Yeah, in your gate well. Whatever your testing equipment is, that way you don't have to
just keep running.
We're uncomfortable with leaving the testing equipment in the unit for a long time before testing because we don't know if they're sediment.
How much debris?
Right. Yeah, I'm just saying,
what about after?
Yeah, or after.
I guess the difference is we were planning on reusing that testing equipment, so if...
The reason that I'm saying leave it in possibly is, depending on the conditions, are you going to be exceeding your 150 in the spillway and bringing the rocks in?
Right.
Rock removal is over $1 million.
Yeah.
We can buy new equipment for less than that, if that makes sense. Enough to make a difference.
So, I would say that if the testing has already been done and we've got the results are, we don't have to go retrieve the equipment to get the results, do we?
The velocity testing will be done
Okay.
Put those in from the state. They say, all right, in 2 days, we're going to have this condition. Is that enough time to
put it in the contract for the advance notice when we want them to install.
They only need 1 day to install the
equipment. Right. But
that's
notice.
We need to have some.
So I want to have that. It's like if the notice comes, like, oh, you look on the weekend, like, oh, we're ready to go, but you notify them on Sunday, and they're not. There's no one at the project to help them on Sunday.
But we're anticipating that we're going to get a sustained flow.
I love your optimism.
Period of time.
I love your optimism.
But you're looking at me. Are we trying to pick that peak where it comes right there? We need to put in. You know, we will give you 2-3 days notice or whatever. Go in and install these. How much notice do we need for the operations?
We're going to need some notice of the unit dewatering, you know, around SPS's and bulkheads and the whole bit with crane work. Bit of work.
So it might need, we have to give notice to ops. Ops have to get started.
Yes.
And then tell the...
That's mostly what I'm thinking, because Fridays and Saturday and Sundays are kind of lean at Bonneville. For
the unit out is depending on where we do pressure testing. We decided on a unit yet. I think we're still working with the project to figure out how we can capitalize on the existing outage schedule to install equipment potentially, you know, and minimize unit outages. That discussion, you know, will be happening in the future here, but yeah, we have to be able to have, you know, if we're going to request a unit outage, we're going to have 3 weeks minimum.
That's for generation? Well, there's the time you're supposed to put in notification for your having outages.
Yeah.
That's the WEC nurse. Compliance issue.
Yeah, actually, that's from generation, right?
Correct. It's transmission generation. They both have to know. But that's the one constraint, but then there's also what the project physically can do.
Exactly.
Right.
And so you need to nail it, and then maybe move it.
Right. Well, I think that probably towards the end of construction, when we start getting into that 3-week time frame for outages, we're going to have a better idea what the water looks like and whether or not we're going to have a little float, or if it's going to be a day-by-day call. And if it's a day-by-day call, then it's just going to be coordination with the project every day. So, but right now, I don't know that there's a whole lot of value in going through all the wet-ups until we're closer to...
No, that's why we're just trying to think, like, what's the minimum notification beforehand and that kind of stuff.
Right. And we're looking that up. We're working with the ops now.
Make sure tell the contractor, like, hey, we might be able to tell you like 3 or 4 days in advance, but you also have to think about you're working with the ops people there to make sure that it may take longer. You might need more time.
How far out can we reliably forecast?
A week? A week to 10 days is your best.
How good is your weather?
Yeah, so like 48 hours notice and then 1 day to put it in?
Well, you want to talk to...
Is 3 days notice enough?
Well, part of my concern is that how many people does it take to run the test? You know, when the equipment's in, and then you notify, okay, it's going to be Tuesday next week. Do you need to tell them a week before to get in there, or is it going to be the day before? So there's multiple things that are playing in.
Well,
here.
We're lowering them down in a basket in a confined space, so we're going to have response teams. We're going to need a crew out there to support the contractor to make sure that they can get in and get the stuff set under the conditions of going down in that gatewell. There will be op staff required to support it. So we need to make sure they're aware and have flexibility to be there when our contractors are there.
Okay. So it sounds like we need to lay out the time that we have to give them for unit outage, and then we need to back out the installation and back out all of those pre-installation requirements, getting the units down, and find out when our...
The sooner we get this contract awarded, the better we can define those.
Yeah.
But for those things, you guys got to think about ahead of time to give them suggestions. So
right.
We can only give you a minimum of right there.
We are thinking about it. We are trying to chase them. Strengthen your headaches now instead of around a
about a week notice. That's what we can do. And when are the Spring Creek releases?
I think the first one starts with the beginning of spill.
Right? Yep. There's a second one that you're going to bump right into
later.
The second one, and that's what we can do. So we can talk to, if you guys have an idea, once we get a little closer, we can talk, like, we can always talk to Hatch and say, like, could you go a day early or a day later, try to miss your chest?
Exactly. And so that's the other thing that every team, I've been, every spring, it's like, oh, no, you can't.
Well, so, make sure we talk to
them. I don't think it shouldn't be a big impact on spring training.
It shouldn't. Yeah.
No, but you're going to be running the unit above the mid range. If you do that, that's the animal.
Going
above 1%. No, above even the mid range.
Well, you have the mods in, though, to go to 1%, so the purple box makes.
But you mean you get. If you guys are comfortable with that, there's no.
Well, yeah,
I'm
honestly,
comfortable enough for spending millions of fish.
I am for sure, because that, and that also might get to be biological testing. You know, that would get my food to you.
Right.
An increase of the flow is from the top of the 1% to the unit max.
Not much. It's not a ton, but it is something. And so that's, I just wanted to make sure that we don't want to lose the range, but also that change doesn't create something pressure-wise that we go.
How long do we have to run it at that higher rate?
How far does your pressure sensors? I mean, that's an engineering question. Collecting the data.
You're down by the corbel itself, near the bottom of the head gate.
But how long do you need to have? Is it instantaneous? Is it an hour? Is it pretty comfortable?
Same flow at that higher rate.
You get a clean data.
Yeah.
Probably at least an hour. And then we want to simulate a urban shutdown start of procedure.
But you care where that range is when you do the shutdown part? If it's at not quite the very highest point, at 1K, 2K down?
At or near the 1%.
But those are the ranges that people get concerned about if there's a million fish coming through Spring Creek the day before.
Right.
So you got to try not to marry those two up if you can.
Spring Creek, that's the hatchery?
Yeah.
Yes. It's been 10 years since I was.
Yeah.
Just had my head looped all that.
So I see you.
They let 5 million
Donald, fish go. Hold on. I still have nightmares about it, so.
There's hope for you.
There's hope I could forget this?
I think they release like 5 million fish at a time, and they show up pushing a day.
Yeah.
All at once.
When did they start doing that again?
The first one would be April 12th or 14th, usually, and then the second one's a month later.
Yeah.
So it's in the May parade when you might be in your sweet spot of your test.
Oh, we can also talk to Asher and have them.
Move it around.
Right up there. That was a 10-year average.
Yeah.
There's so much flexible light to release.
At this time, in the May time, they can do a couple days.
They don't want to miss spill, though.
Yeah.
They'll get spill, but they don't want the turbines turned up. And that's what your test is looking at.
Well, never mind.
It's just something that's been a pain on and on and on for decades.
Yeah. The only thing is, if something that is going funky in there, like they have a break or something like that, they don't want to release. But if everything's cool and chill, they can probably
they look how fast the spike comes up and down.
They want to know the answer because it takes a long time. No, that's why we need to know ahead of time. Probably have to change there.
So let's make sure everybody's aware of what our needs are. And
this is all going to, we get more information. After we have a meeting with the project, we're going to be able to put a lot more detail in the F-pump coordination.
And, okay, so you're going to do an MRC on this one?
Yeah, like we have in the past.
Okay.
And this is going to have a pre-presentation too?
Likely not, just at pump.
It'll be at pump. We'll do a memorandum of coordination for at pump operating. We'll take it to FPAC and tell them on FPAC. Like, here's the MFC, please read it and know what's going on.
Because it won't change flows in a substantial way. We're going to take advantage of whatever flows we have. We may have to shape them hourly or daily.
Right.
But that's not a DMT.
And if you do that during the travel fisheries, that would be better.
Oh, yeah.
That would be special if you could somehow manage to do that one, too.
Anyway.
Okay.
Bring Dan.
I just wanted to clarify something that I heard earlier. Everyone was, a couple times people mentioned that Unit 11 will be our second unit, and I don't know that that has fully been decided yet, right? It was always going to be 14, and then somebody asked if Unit 11 might be better for the fish. So we left it open-ended in the contract so that we had time to evaluate those two options.
Well, the issue with Unit 11 is they like to run it adjacent to the corn collector, and the corn collector is still running during that fall period that you're talking. There's not a lot of fish.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, once you shut the corn collector down, you could do 11, but, you know, you're going to deal with the violation of the FPP and getting folks to agree that it's not an impacted fish.
while the chlorine collector still operates,
so going like, to draw more fish.
I don't think we do it in August. We target, you know, after still after shutdown. But then you've got priority unit for adult attraction.
Oh yeah,
a large spring or a large.
Our date for notifying we're going to use that option is in August, early August, mid August. But then they're going to have to do all their pre-construction submittals and stuff. The actual construction is not going to happen until October, November.
Okay, that's what shut down.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, if that's the case, then it's probably not. Okay. Not going to be an issue for juveniles or adults.
And that would be preferred, actually, to get the mod, if the mod is successful, to get it in the U.S.
So I think that's going to be, if the mod is successful, then Unit 11 will be a better candidate, but if the mod is not successful and we're talking about doing a little bit of redesign and then updating the unit, 14. We would want 14 because that testing is most similar to Unit 15. And so I just want to be clear that 11, 14, none of that's been fully decided quite yet.
As long as we have the two, one, and once the test will dictate which one makes more sense, we're fine with that.
Okay.
Or respond 15.
Don't go there yet. let's get the construction done and see what the results are. Because if it doesn't work as well as we'd like,
really
shut everything down and rethink it again. Start over.
I can drive work.
It's gonna work.
You're 10 or 11?
Actually longer than that.
Longer than?
Yeah. Starting 03.
Started
this in 03.
You're 16.
Okay. I've been here since the beginning of this one.
Yeah, me too.
And it's Gary Fredrickson's fault. So
remember that. Gary's retired now, isn't he?
Oh, very retired.
You know, he not even answer phone calls anymore?
Unless you're going to ask him about birds or elk, I doubt it.
Is he still living in the same place?
Oh, yeah.
Did he move someplace?
Washington.
He's still from Washington.
No, he's moving around.
What about Paul Wagner? Is he around?
Oh, he's still here.
He's
half time.
2 months. And then Dave Wills?
He's retired.
Long retired.
I was flashing back his name to him back in the day.
Yep. Well, I still keep in touch with Dave Wills, so yeah.
Long ago.
About a year now.
Dave Wills.
Okay. So we wrapped up the discussion on B2FGE.
Well, we moved it along. I don't know
where
we're going.
Hours left.
Hours
left. Hours left. Hours left. Hours left. You're retired. That's
not fair. For B2FGE.
I got 2 years.
Oh, God. Got that home rotation. Give you more to capture. Okay.
Unless anybody else has anything else they want to talk about,
we'll appreciate.
We'll wrap it up and head up to ASAP.
You brought the 18, right? You got the 18 now on this one. Excellent. Well done.
We'll grade them after the project.
Oh. They're starting off in the day.
By the way, we just got a curse.
This is Bridget Bell. She's the TL. She's coming to us from private industry. She's been here for 3 months.
She hasn't run away yet?
Well, we've changed her to her Jeff because she is having a retract.
Ankle monitor.
No, it's more of a
pun. It's been an interesting 3 months.
Yeah. All right, everybody else, we're going to go ahead and hang up, and we'll talk to you guys later. Our next scheduled Center Week meeting is February 6th. We'll keep you posted on that.
Okay, well, we'll see many of you up at ASAP. Talk with you later. Bye.
All right.
See you later, Jerry.
See you.